Welcome to the Runner's Diary, episode 79. I'm Damien.
And I'm Brian. On this week's show, we'll have all the latest news, all of last week's results, our featured fixtures.
And this week, we chat with snooker's legend, Fergal O'Brien. That's all to come on this week's episode of the Runner's Diary podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Pillar Performance.
Pillar Performance brings you the very best in sports micronutrition.
Hydration and fueling products will take you to the finish line, but Pillar will get you to the start line in your best condition over and over again.
As a Runner's Diary follower, you can avail a 15% discount online by using the promo code RUNNERSDIARY15 or go in store to the Edge in Kinsale Road, Cork, and mention this code at checkout when buying a Pillar Performance product.
We ask every week, you know, are we still on our roll? Are you still on the roll?
I'm not still on the roll anymore, but I did do end up with 32 days. I decided to take Friday and Saturday off before I raced today. So maybe I should have kept running, but we'll come to that later on.
We'll come to that later on.
I finished 32 in the end. I know you went a bit longer in the end, I think, did you?
I finished today, so I got, what is it? What are we in the fourth, is it?
34 so days, is it?
35 days.
35 days. Very impressive.
So I well done. Am now done. As in, I can't wait for tomorrow. I'm so happy tomorrow's a bank holiday because I can rest and take it easy. But The challenge has officially ended. It has been a massive, massive success. I think, you know, I've heard a lot of people actually even into the shop and things like that saying that they, you know, they loved seeing up in the videos that were put up, in fairness to you, put up every evening. You know, and it was great to see the different counties, countries getting involved with it as well.
Yeah, it was great. It came a quick bit of community in the end. I think even it's great to look on Strava and see people who didn't know each other at the start and still don't know each other, kind of, you know, encouraging each other along, which was great. So well done again to everybody. We'll finish off. We had a few winners, obviously, across the couple of weeks as well, which was great. And we're going to finish off in the next day or two maximum. Hopefully we'll have it done before this goes out even. The final draw for the winner of the hamper, thanks to Pillar Performance, Shoe Rescue, Wellbeing Coffee, and of course, we have two entries to the Mount Hillary AC 5-miler as well. So again, thanks to everybody who supported, thanks to everybody who took part. I think it was a roaring success. I spoke to a few people today who actually went into today's race in Dungarvan, quite strong off it and felt strong off it. So hopefully, physically and mentally, there was a lot of people who got benefits out of it.
Exactly. And look, I'd say for myself personally, I went how many weeks last year without running and everything like that, and all of a sudden, you know, I continued this week. I could have very easily just stopped, and I was like, no, let's just see out this week.
I'd say you've probably ran more in January there than you ran the whole last year.
Honest to God, it's not far off it, Brian, and I was delighted for it. So I'm very, very happy with it. But, Brian, today... Mm-hmm. All right, well, obviously, we're going to officially announce, we've done a video the other day, our marathon program in association with Cork City Marathon. So yourself, myself, and Ken Nason are going to be doing weekly videos on YouTube, talking people through a marathon program for anyone from roughly around 4 hours, 4.5, 5, 5.5, 6 hours, just for any first-timers and anyone who's looking for any bit of help. The video is going to be done, going out really on probably about a Friday, Saturday at the latest on YouTube. And Brian, we're kind of just going to be talking through plans for the week, but also answering questions, which I think is going to be invaluable to a lot of people.
Huge. Yeah. Look, again, people, I'm kind of thinking, you know, and I don't want to be kind of giving ourselves too much praise, but this was an initiative we brought to the Cork City Marathon, and they were thrilled when we brought it to them. You know, you would see, obviously, with a lot of marathons, there's a printed, you know, training plan that's shared and it's blank and you take it and you run with it, and people don't understand sometimes what the runs mean, especially if you're a first timer. Terminology like tempo running and fartlek and all these type of things and hill running and what should I do with it? So this is going to be different. It's going to be a video format. It's going to be interactive. We're really looking for people to come back and ask us questions, whether it be related to the plan itself or maybe things that, you know, popped up during the week in terms of maybe injuries or running questions. Damien, you're here. You can answer questions about running shoes as well, et cetera, et cetera. So look, it's going to go out, as we said, first week is starting. So it's a 16-week countdown going out on February the 12th. It's a Monday to Sunday. We get out before that, but that will be the first actual training week, the 12th to the 18th. I think it's going to be great. I really think it's going to be great. And it's something that
And
hasn't been done before.
no, and Brian, I think for people to really make sure, if you're really interested in getting this, please subscribe to the YouTube channel, because then you will not miss out on the week, because you will get notification that it's actually out. We will have it out before the Sunday every single week, so that you are ready. The plan will go from the Monday to the Sunday, so you will have it well in advance.
Yeah, and also another bit of good news. Over the first couple of weeks, we don't know for certain yet, but over the first couple of weeks, there will be free entries again to be run to the Cork City Marathon for those who are, sharing the plan, getting tagging people in, but we'll announce that a bit more later on. But yeah, definitely share it there if you know people who are running the marathon and maybe don't follow this podcast or don't follow us. Maybe they just might be interested in that section alone, and you'd be helping them as well, I'm sure, by letting them know about this training plan as well.
And for people to reach us, you can one, leave comments in the YouTube channel, two, contact us on Facebook or Instagram as well. And we will more than happily answer your questions to myself, Brian, and Ken. And if we need to get another expert in, be it nutrition, recovery, we will do it. We are fully invested in this, and I mean it. And, I think this can benefit a lot of people. So, look, I hope people tune in and enjoy it, but interact with it as well.
Yeah.
So that's coming up. Right. Brian, the last couple of weeks, we've done a couple of polls on our Spotify platform as well. So I'd like people to go along and have a look at this week's poll. So this week's poll, before we go to last week's poll, this week's poll is coming from a question from last week's guest, Circa. So do you wear headphones when you're running? Is it a yes, a no, or sometimes? It depends on the mood. All right. So what are you, Brian?
Sometimes only in training runs, never in a race.
Yeah, I would be exact same, never in a race, and it will literally depend on my mood. If I'm in a mood where I just want to listen to the Runner's Daily podcast, then I will tune in. But
I
I would
think if I
say,
was running with you more often, I probably would wear the headphones while I'm
yeah.
running, right?
And that's totally understandable as well.
Yeah.
But last week we asked the question of, did you find the 31 day challenge enjoyable? So 80% of people said yes, 20% of the people said no. So
Interesting.
interesting. Yeah, and I did, like, I you know sometimes you think, oh yeah, everyone loved it, people don't enjoy. Like, there was times I
Yes.
didn't enjoy it either, so but look, again, it's just something, it's just a bit of fun. So it just go on to Spotify, there's the poll in there, and answer that away for us. It would be great.
Okay, so just to let people know as well, in the second half of this podcast, of course, and if you want to skip all this chat, you can move straight there. We won't get offended. But this week's guest is a bit of an unusual one. It's Fergal O'Brien, who was obviously well known for his snooker days, his professional snooker days, a great servant to the Irish sport over many, many years. And I found his chat intriguing, to be honest about it. And again, you can listen to the second half.
I think you
Yeah.
forgot, Brian, to mention, okay, and I think this is get this in early. Race winning.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
You,
race
yeah.
winning Fergal O'Brien. I think forget about the snooker part. That's forget about that
Yeah.
now. It's now race winning Fergal O'Brien. I think that's just vital to get in.
I think he contacted us after the recording to tell us he never mentioned it, I'm sure, during the podcast. So yeah, during his interview. So yeah, look, it's a great interview. I'll tell you something, we'll talk about it more, but for people who are just tuning in now, it tells you the importance of a club to people, no matter what you are, what level you are, how a club is so important,
Lucan,
Lucan Harriers, exactly. Yeah, he's a Lucan Harriers man, isn't he?
So
Yeah.
Luke, like, in fairness, and look, I know there, and we said it, I think we did say it on the podcast, they should have an open bus parade now for him to really celebrate that win, and we're encouraging it. So come on, Lucan, get behind it, get him up on top of that open top bus and down the street. So we'll see about that.
Yeah,
Right, now
another legend.
another legend is coming up. We have coming out this week our first 2024 Martin O'Leary blog. He is back, lads. He is back. So his first blog, which will probably be due out on, I would say, the Wednesday, or the Thursday this week. So he is back. I know people are actually excited about this. In fairness, he puts a lot of effort into it. He puts his own spin on the whole lot of it, so it's really worth a read. So stay tuned as well for that week. So again, we just keep on giving. It's brilliant, isn't it? I love it. And talk about giving. Last week competition winner, Brian.
So last week's competition was a great one with Kinsale 10 miler River Stick AC Athletic Club there. It takes place on Sunday, February 25th at 12 p.m. In Kinsale, obviously. And the lucky winners are, drum roll, Elaine Moore and Trevor Moore. So well done to Elaine Moore and Trevor Moore there. I think they're both with the Toker AC Club now. Well done. They're good supporters of races. I know that myself. I've seen them at so many races. So get yourself down to Kinsale, guys, on Sunday the 25th at 12 noon again. And for everybody else, it's a really good one. It's a good race, good PB potential course. And check out Kinsale social media pages or Eventmaster. Type in Kinsale 10 miler and get yourself down there. It's certainly, we're in the season of 10 milers right now, actually, with the first big one today and a good few coming up over the next couple of weeks. And Kinsale is certainly top of the list. So, again, Kinsale 10 miler on Sunday the 25th at 12 noon.
No, this week's competition, Brian, this is a big one.
It's like
All
Willy
right.
Wonka's
This is the golden ticket.
golden ticket.
All
Yeah,
right, tickets. We've two to
tickets.
give away. So this week we are giving away to the sold out event, the Adair 10K in picturesque Adair. One of my favorite areas in the whole of Ireland. Oh, love this area. I honest to God. Spent a bit of time there last year. Unbelievable. But February 25th at 1 p.m. Is the sold out event, which is the Adair 10K, which is actually so popular. It's a great race too as well. It's some like I know it's not dead flat and there is a few drags in here and there, but it is a good course. T-shirts and finisher medals are both made from recyclable material, not cardboard material. So Rory O'Hagan will be absolutely thrilled with that. So it's held by West Limerick Athletics Club. And, I think this should be a big one. So for this big competition, of course, we'll add in the two tubs of Shoe Rescue as well. Thanks to all the lads at Shoe Rescue for that. So simple, lads. And this is going to be very strict in this because this is going to be a big one. You have to like our page. You have to like Shoe Rescue page. You have to tag your running buddy. And I think for this one, Brian, you're going to have to share it to your stories on Instagram as well.
We're too kind to people, so we need more back, don't we?
We need more back. We need, we need more follow. We want people to help us to help you. Help me help you. Help me help you.
Sounds
So
good.
simple again, I'll go through it. For the Adair 10K, February the 25th at 1 p.m. Event is sold out, so there is zero tickets available for this. So you need to like our page. You need to like Shoe Rescue page. You need to share it to your stories and tag a running buddy. And if you do that in Facebook and on Instagram, you're in it twice. So simple,
Fair enough.
lads.
Yeah,
Very
okay.
simple. But again, massive thank you to West Limerick AC for this competition because it's not often, Brian, we get one where it's just a totally sold out event. And I think this should be a very big competition. And I hope and it deserves to be honest with you.
And again, we won't call them out now, but we actually have loads of competitions coming up over the next couple of weeks as well.
Stay tuned
So
to our featured fixtures.
exactly, we have a lot coming up. So again, we'll keep giving away stuff just for following us. So again, if you can get that support back, we'd greatly appreciate it. So a bit of news around for
Bit
some
of
Irish
news.
runners
This
as
is going
well,
to be a rapid fire now because I think there's quite a bit in this one. So we'll start off. Sarah Healy takes 7 seconds off the Irish record to 8:36.06 in Metz. She's now, I think, second in the all-time list between indoor behind only behind indoor and outdoor behind Sonia at the moment. So unbelievable to take 7 seconds off an indoor record is just absolutely mind-boggling. So incredible running. Darragh McInerney runs a big PB in the same race in 7:39.92 for a third place finish, which moves him to second on the all-time Irish list. And it's great for Darragh, he wins it, but then all of a sudden he sees one of his Irish records go behind him. So Nick Greggs, the man on fire at the moment, took Darragh's under 23 record So he ran 7:45:57 to finish sixth in the same race. So unbelievable, running by the lads.
And Nick
And
is
then
19, isn't he? Is he
he's only
19?
19. Yeah,
Yeah,
sorry, he is only
frightening. Yeah.
19. And obviously Dara is a past guest, and another past guest, Charlie O'Donovan, had an incredible race in Boston in running a race in run the mile in 3:55:85. Now, Brian, you saw this.
I saw this and a lot to speak about in this race, right? So first of all, he proudly wore the Leavell singlet in the race, which was brilliant to see, you know, in a race in Boston, see the Leavell colours on display there. Secondly, I'm not sure how many exactly are in the race, but let's just say there was about 12 maybe in the race. And I think there was six from one, we'll say club or college or whatever they were, six from one and two were pacemakers. So they set the pace and had the field stacked at the front. So there was three or four of them at the front, kind of controlling the race, and went off quite fast, obviously. But I think the big thing was coming into the last lap. So, like these were 200 meter laps, I think. Coming into the last lap, he was in sixth place, but like he actually powered around the bend and went from like sixth in very quick few strides up into second, and then just powered home to finish. It was a very impressive finish by him. He really, you know, came through the field quite quickly. So, well, if anyone hasn't seen it, check it out. I know it's on the Leavell Club page on their Facebook page. That's where I saw it. Well worth a watch.
On
Great running.
YouTube, might you know,
Yeah.
I might share ourselves if we can in our
Yeah.
stories as well.
Yeah.
Because, and also, just a note, Ken Nason, who is our Cork City
Proxy
Martin
Martin coach, yeah.
coach, trained Charlie, coached Charlie for years till he moved to college. So
That's right, yeah.
that's the caliber lads we have. You coaching with yourselves now, all right? So now, obviously, as well, this weekend was the big race in America, which was the American Trials for the Olympics. No, I won't lie, I have it recorded. I just haven't got the week time yet. I'm hoping tomorrow to watch a bit of it. But geez, the great racing. So it's held in Orlando. So
Very
it
hot,
was
very humid.
very, but actually temperatures wasn't too bad, Brian. At 10
Humidity was
o'clock,
high, though, I
yeah,
think. Yeah,
humidity,
humidity
the
was high.
temperature was 10 degrees or 13 degrees at the 10:10 start was it, is what it was. But it was on a 5.5 loop, and then they did 3 8-mile loops after that as well. So the men's was won by Conor Mance in 2:09:05. All right. Second place was Clayton Young in 2:09:06. Training buddies.
Yeah, well, there's a bit of a story. Yeah, I was just about to jump in. They're actually training buddies, and they more or less came to the line together. And I think one just kind of, you know, let you go ahead of me type of a thing, was very kind of gentlemanly, like so. Great training buddies there. Yeah, it was great to see. And the third place was Leonard Kerr, whose
Army, correct,
army third and fourth were army actually.
In
So
2:09:57.
I
He
think he has a bit
doesn't.
of no. He doesn't qualify
He's
yet.
the top two qualifies once you have the time, and the lads have the time already from a different race, so they're qualified. But he's now on that middle ground where he may not go into it, which is, squeaking out
Surely,
time for him, like.
surely the winner of the ladies has to be some Irish connection here or somewhere.
Yeah, so in the ladies, we had Fiona O'Keefe. Has to be Irish relations in there. So her first marathon as well, right?
Yeah.
First marathon in 2:22:10.
Which is a new record trail
Correct.
marathon time.
Yeah. So unbelievable running. And it was so dominant that, she was 32 seconds ahead of second place, which was Emily Sidson in 2:22:42, and in third place was I say is it Dakota Linfern in 2:25:35. So
Yeah,
the three of them have qualified, as in that is the qualifying time.
just on that one as well. I think it was a very good race in the women's race. I think Sarah Hall was in the heat there as well, up to about she dropped off. I think she was fifth overall. But the first eight women all finished ahead of the previous record, so it was a fairly
That's
serious
fast.
competition
Yeah.
there.
I know you have to make the times and stuff like that, but I think the trial is such a great
Yeah,
way.
it's tactical,
Oh,
isn't it? It's
geez,
kind of more
literally just
tactical, yeah.
I think sometimes it should just be allowed, like the Olympics. I think it needs to be where you get the countries in. Even if they had two people from each country that they allowed into the marathon, and it was done on a trial base, and you're Irish, you have to be there. If you're not there, that's it.
Yeah.
End of story, and off you go. And I think it's just creates a buzz. It's a whole week event. It's a massive event over there. Like
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts, and people work their lives to even just try to qualify for it, you know, let alone try to win it or anything like that, but just to try to get into it. So I know it's not possible and never will, probably it never ever will happen, but geez, it'd be some crack if it did in,
Yeah,
you know, a place like
definitely.
Ireland and a place like that. It'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
So that's all the news for right now. I'll hold, take a breath there for a second, and we will move to our results.
Yeah, so our results section, as always, is sponsored by Wellbeing Coffee of Glanmire and Neptune. Why not join them for their fun run group, which Damon is a part of? It's already up and running, Damon. It's going well, I
Yeah, it's
think,
going
is it?
very well. No, it's going very, very well. So, and like we have paces for everything. I mean, literally every group. So come away down, have a coffee, have a smoothie, enjoy it. Sunday mornings, 9 a.m., Wednesday evenings, 7 p.m. So it is good fun. We just have a nice 5K, 5 mile, 4Ks, couch to 5K. So
I was
well worth
talking
it.
to someone during the week who were singing your praises, but I told them they needed their head examined, but that you were down there encouraging people on and things of like that. So, yeah, I don't know. I hate to say it, but it'll give you a small bit of
Oh,
praise, I
thanks.
suppose.
It's
Yeah.
enjoyable.
So, with that, one of our first results of the day, we're going to go to the world of IMRA, and we have Mags again back with us this week to give us the latest update on today's race.
Mike Hassett here from IMRA Munster reporting on the Banshee Woods Trail Race at the foot of the Galtee Mountains on the 4th of February. 140 runners ran today in the fourth race of the Munster Winter Spring Trail League. The results of the long course, distance 8.5 kilometres, climbed 260 metres, were ladies Keely Tideswell, Carol Finn, Catherine Fogarty, men Barry Tuig, Barry Hartnett, Sean Quirk. The winners of the short course, distance 3 kilometres, were ladies Nasa Mooney, men Dara Sheedy. Thanks to RD Damien Hoolan and his fantastic team of volunteers. The next league trail race is in Rahan Woods, Mallow, on the 18th of February.
So thank you, Mags, for that. Mags in the airport on her way home from her holly bops.
My God,
And she's
that's
still giving us the
commitment.
race sports commitment. So well done.
So
So
Keely and Barry again, names that I think
yeah.
is a fourth, is it Barry's fourth or fifth win already this year?
Yeah.
I met Barry actually early this morning, so I'm going to claim maybe my words to him. I can't say inspired him because he's inspired every week, in fairness. But yeah,
Yes.
Barry, met Barry at the garage, and I thought he was going to Dungarvan, but he actually ended up going to Tip there for that one. So
His words of encouragement didn't work on you, though, did it?
no, definitely
Okay,
not.
we'll
No,
come to that
no,
in a
no.
minute anyway. That's good.
Yeah. He intimidated me. So yeah, we move on with the fixtures. So we'll go to Lindy now next as well. Lindy's reported some big races up the east of the country. So over to you, Lindy.
Good evening or afternoon. We'll start off with indoors action since there was a lot of it over the weekend. Irish athletes were running all over Europe and in the USA, with the highlight Sarah Healy's new Irish indoors 3,000 meter record of 8:36.06 set in Metz, France on Saturday. The time knocked 10 seconds off Healy's previous best and is under the qualifying standard for the forthcoming World Indoors in Glasgow. At the same meet, Dara McIlhenny of UCD finished third in the men's 3,000 metres in 7:39.92, knocking over 2 seconds off his previous best, while Nick Griggs of Candor AC finished sixth in 7:45.57, a personal best by over 6 seconds. A day later in Boston, and also over 3,000 metres, Brian Fay of Ruachuli Shamrock clocked 7:40.09 and Andrew Coscarn of Stour de See 7:40.30. Both of them personal best times. Also, very much worth noting is a time of 47:13 seconds for 400 metres, run by Jack Raftery of Dunure Harriers at a meet in the south of France on Friday, which puts him top of the current Irish rankings. And in Albuquerque, Texas, Tala's own superstar, Rashida Adeleke, won her first 400 metre race of the year with a time of 51:12. Locally, the Clonliffe men and Dundrum South Dublin women again made it a Dublin club double at the All-Ireland Indoor League final in Athlone on Saturday. While the DSD women took a clear win, Clonliffe had to fight for its title with just 9 points separating the top four teams. Clonliffe ended up on 87 points, then came Ratoath with 80, Leavell with 79, and Nina Olympic on 78 points. At Abbottstown, close to 2,000 youngsters were in action at the second and third days of the Dublin Juvenile Indoors in the NIA. Is this a record? On the roads, a total of 4,522 finished two sold-out 10-mile races held on Sunday morning. One was the John Tracy in race in Dungarvan, which you already know all about. Although the Trim 10 in County Meath was smaller in numbers than Dungarvan, the race provided the faster times. Race winner in 51 minutes 31 seconds was Conor Duffy of Glaslough Harriers, who held off the challenge of Dunboyne's Peter Somba just 2 seconds behind in 51:33. Third in 52:01 was former Irish marathon champion Martin Hoare of Selbridge. Finishing 14th and first woman and first W40 was Anne-Marie McGlynn of Letterkenny in 56:23. Leading home 89 men's teams was Selbridge, while best of the 76 women's teams was Mullingar Harriers. While it's wonderful to see so many club teams in action, it seems a long time since races such as the legendary Ballycotton 10 were won in times of under 50 minutes for men and under 55 minutes for women. Clearly, the magic shoes don't work all the time. Good night.
Okay, thanks, Lindy. Again, some great running there. Again, huge turn up at the Trim 10 miler there. 1,662 finishers. So another big race backed up
Yeah.
after last week's big race in Raheny as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And again, plenty of close races, and Pascas, Anne-Marie winning the race, Martin Hoare in third place. So, again, that's if you want to come on the show, you're going to win a race.
Now,
Yeah,
one
at
is a
least
one
more than
second
that.
between first and second there again.
Yeah, so really, really, really close races. 2 seconds, I think, overall, but yeah,
Yeah.
very close. But I think big. Very, very big race with a total of 2,835 finishers was the John Tracy Dungarvan 10 miler, which took place today on Sunday the 4th. We'll go through the results first. In the men's, past guest, Oisín Spillane took the win in a time of 1:51.56 from Ennis Track Club.
51:56.
50, what did I say?
1:51:56.
Sorry, 51.56. Beg your pardon, sorry, Oisin. They're not that slow. John Kinsella, past
Another past
guest.
guest twice.
Yeah. Flat out 52 minutes. In is it Leon Hopkins from Brothers Pierce AC in a time of 52:32 was in third place overall. In the ladies, Kira Wilson from DMP AC in a time of 59:14 took the win, with Sally Forrestal in from St. Joseph's AC in 1 hour and 10 seconds in second place, and Kristen Scollard from Dublin City Harriers AC in 1 hour and 12 seconds. So extremely close between second and third in the ladies. But we had somebody there. Now, Brian, I have a question to ask, that a question that came into me.
Oh my
Okay.
gosh. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to this.
So the question I'm going to start with: what is Brian's time? Strava is 67 minutes. Chip timing is 70 minutes. What is the answer?
I'd say chip time is more than 70 minutes. I'd say, yeah, official time is the chip time. So yeah, I had a bad day out there. I actually was reason being my Strava time is lower is because I actually was pulling up and stopping on three occasions. So yeah, I did a warm up, and for some reason my calf just locked up and never released at all. So kind of knew it early on, even at the car before the race started. I was applying stuff onto my calf to try and get it loosened out. But started the race anyway, mile one or two went off fine, and I don't know. Even if you're familiar with the course, when you kind of get to the mile three area, you're kind of still in around the kind of the start area. You kind of going around the industrial area there, and you're back out onto the main road. I contemplated pulling up at mile three. Kind of was, I won't say I was in pain, but it was just unbelievably tight in the calf. So got to about three and a half, and I actually did pull up, pulled into the side of the road, was actually just stopped to watch, was going to turn around. And the guy there actually in fairness who tried to help me, but got going again. So restarted the watch and stopped again. About less than a mile up the road, stretch trying to stretch it out again, and won't bore people. But the third time, at about mile five, I stopped again, and I suppose at that stage it was nearly better off just jog home. But anyway, I got going again and got back to pace.
Yeah,
But
and you did, and
yeah,
you picked up the pace to be like, I looked at your splits, and you did, you say, there's that middle section, but either side of it, and what released it, did you know, or
I just, funny enough, I kept like it just wasn't releasing. It wasn't releasing the left calf. Like it was like a pinch in it. And again, when I got to actually bang on the half of the mark, I went down off kind of a side Boreen Road, and I just stretched off a pole, squeezing it out, and I got back into the race and met Gwen Conroy from Watergrass Hill, and just ran alongside her for about a minute or two, and it just eased a small bit, and eased and eased, and then all of a sudden, it just became free to run. But how things can happen, though, and that
Yeah.
was just,
Well, look,
and a lot,
you were
a few
training
people
well,
put,
and you were
yeah.
training well, and that's the thing with racing, and it can happen, unfortunately, and it does happen. But look,
Yeah, but to answer your question, my Strava watch, like I would obviously, my chip time for the race. My Strava just said I did a 10 mile run today. Like so, that's what it became. Then it was just a case of okay, it's a 10 mile run now, but it wasn't
okay.
about me, obviously. Anyway,
So less about you, more about the race. How was the whole experience?
yeah. I have kind of mixed feelings on today. And again, it's like I know, as I said, I didn't have a good race myself, but like, it was a bit breezy there. Nothing can be done about that. You know, you can expect that. So it was a bit challenging at times, and I heard a few people. I think the standard was probably, no disrespect to the winners, and their times were incredible. But I'm just saying the pool of maybe group, a bigger group of runners. And I met John Kintz at the start, and I spoke to him briefly. And obviously, with Seville coming up, isn't it? Seville is on in
Yeah,
2
2 weeks
weeks'
time.
time. So I think there's a lot of people who would normally run Dungarvan, I'd say, heading there. And I think Denny with the Armagh 5K coming up as well this week, which I think, again, you might have lost a few to that as well. So, you know, from that perspective, but I do think, and I know I spoke to you before, that, and this isn't a criticism either, or far from it, it's an exceptional event, really well organized event. You know, can't fault it, the stewarding, the organization, the whole lot. But I do think they've lost something since COVID and moving it away from the hall structure at the start, where everybody went to the one headquarters and there was great buzz and atmosphere around the hall. And you know, you go back there after the race. I know everybody, some people love to get home and get out of there, but you know, there's a buzz when you go back to the hall. John Tracy was around himself often, you know, a cup of tea and a chat. That's all gone now. You know, it's kind of like you finish the line, you cross the line, you get your top and gear bag. And again, it's a great value for money race. You can't knock any of that. But I just feel that atmosphere is slightly gone with it.
I do look, I do think that has happened to a few races. I can't stand here because I haven't been that many races, but that's what racing is about. It's about that atmosphere before and after. And I do remember doing Dungarvan a good few years ago, and you did have that buzz in the inside the area, and the noise and the whole lot of it. It's just that
It's just like, I know,
finishes the
look,
event. I
it's
think it finishes it off. I think
yeah,
you've done your
it's
race.
big numbers. I understand it's like you're in the thousands here now, so it's not just easy to open up a hall for thousands of people either. I get that completely. And like, again, there's no criticism here. It's an excellently organized event on a great route as well. You know, it's a very good course, obviously. But I'm just saying, I don't think it's the Dungarvan 10 that it was from a couple of years ago. For me, it isn't anyway, no.
And look, everyone's entitled to their opinion. Some can tell you go feck off, and that could be they could that they could be dead right. They could have had a great experience from start to finish. But look, I do think, that after tea, cup of tea and sandwich is vital, I think, to a lot of races, and I think it just gets that kind of atmosphere around the place.
Yeah, and again, up to give away a T-shirt and to give away a very good goodie bag as
Oh,
well.
it's a great
So
race.
again,
It's a
there's no
cracking race.
criticism there whatsoever, you know.
So, Brian, onwards and upwards for you.
Yeah, we move on.
This is just the start of your training block anyway, so we look forward to it anyway, and we'll see more on your YouTube as well coming up.
Yeah, I do actually. Just very briefly, I was going to record a bit today, it just didn't happen. But I will talk about the race briefly on my next video. But I do have footage from my visit to Ken Nason last Wednesday night, where you could see me get put through some of the pain that people, but he does talk about you in it, and I
Yes,
keep it.
I have I all right, okay, so I heard that there was a script came in here, all right, and that Ken Nace was handed a brown envelope, all right, with a big script of what to say. That's all I'm saying. Now, I haven't seen the video, so I don't know exactly what he said, but all I heard was that money exchanged hands.
It's actually, yeah, there was money exchange hands, but for different reasons, yeah.
And that there was a script involved, and that, So don't believe what you see people in these videos,
So you
Brian. You
obviously
know,
think it's not going to be good about you, so
no, I
well,
definitely don't think it's going to be
yeah,
good about me. Do you know what I mean?
okay.
So
Yeah, well, there was no
just like
script,
your
but we'll find out.
just like your race today, it's not going to be good.
No, it's not
So
going to be good. It's not going to be good.
with that, we will move on to our featured fixtures.
Excellent. On we go. So the first one is coming up on February the 18th, and that's the 35th annual Tommy Ryan Carrigline 5 mile road race. And again, obviously we both ran this one before. It's run by the Eagle SC Club, really supportive and enthusiastic club, and again at races in great numbers themselves. So I would really encourage club people out there and runners out there to give back to Eagle SC, who are such a great supporter themselves. So again, it's just €15 entry fee, high quality organized race, plenty stewarding, great prizes, great category prizes, great spread of food afterwards. You know, just nothing that this race falls short on. So again, it's the 35th Tommy Ryan Memorial, and that's Carrigline 5 mile road race. It takes place at 11 a.m., I think it is, isn't it? On the 18th of February. So that's 11 a.m. on the 18th of February, Carrigline 5 mile.
Yeah, and also on the same day, you have the Donerail Park 5K, which is also starting at 11 a.m. So it's in the beautiful surroundings of Donerail Wildlife Park. And it's been hosted by North Cork AC. And it's again, look, it's a very popular venue for a lot of races. And it always is, you know, something a bit different, I think, in the park and stuff like that. So that is another great race to get to. And again, with all these events, Eventmaster is your go-to for it.
Yeah, next up is last week's competition. So Trevor Moore will be going there in a lane, isn't it? I think is the name of the two
Yeah.
winners earlier. So be there with them. Check out the Kinsale 10 miler. And again, that takes place on Sunday, February the 25th, and that's at 12 noon. It's hosted by the River Stick Kinsale Athletic Club and Kinsale Community School. Again, obviously a beautiful scenic area there in Kinsale, and I believe a very fast course as well. And with a bit of downhill there sections as well. I think any feedback we've got at this race in the past has been quite impressive as well. So check out the Eventmaster page again there. It's just €25, and that includes a t-shirt. So definitely get on it and enjoy that one. So again, Kinsale 10 miler, Sunday the 25th at 12 noon.
Yeah, and then of course is a sold out Adair 10K on February 25th at 1 p.m. in the beautiful village of Adair. So, you know, as you said earlier, t-shirts, finisher medals for everybody. Unfortunately, if you're not in now, you can't get in there, but you can enter the competition. So again, just check out our social media post on Tuesday to enter that competition for that.
Yeah, next one again. So again, another competition coming up on all these races that we're calling out. So the Courses AC 5 mile road race takes place on Sunday, March the 10th at 9:30 at Gary Lucas Beach. It's €20 entry fee. Again, this is another, like I keep saying it, but this is another beautiful part of the world. Ballinspittle, Gary Lucas, all around the kind of old head of Kinsale area there. Again, last year's was the first event, and I think we got very good feedback on last year's event. So again, this finishes, I think, on the beach, doesn't it? Am I right in saying that? So yeah, €20 plus booking fee. So again, check out Coursey AC social media pages. And again, like all the other ones, it's eventmaster.ie, and just type in Coursey's AC race.
Nearly there. Next one is a Talla AC 5K race, which is on Patrick's Day. So what a better way to start your morning on Patrick's Day. 10 a.m. start, entry €20. So they all you get your lovely design t-shirt as well for yourself, and you know, prizes, cash prizes for first male, for three males and three females, first junior, first female, so plenty to go. And look, I think it's a great way to spend Patrick's Day, go out running fast 5K in Tala. So make sure you
And then onwards to
sign
the
up.
St. Patrick's Day parade in Dublin. A good
Exactly.
day out, isn't it?
That's a good day
Yeah.
out.
Well, down we go again to Killarney this time. So the Streets of Killarney 5 mile road race takes place on Good Friday. That's the 29th of March at 6 p.m. I think this will be another interesting one. It's, you know, kind of a Good Friday. There'll be people around to do this one in the streets of Killarney itself. So we guess it's going to be pretty flat and fast course. So it's with the Killarney Valley Athletic Club. It's a new 5 miler. And again, it takes place on Good Friday, March 29th at 6 p.m. in around the town centre itself. Loads of prizes. And again, sign up on eventmaster.ie or check out Killarney Valley AC social media pages for more on that one.
Exactly. And lastly, we have the Rebel Diamond Series. So, four races, four different locations, four different dates. Bantry 5 mile, held by Mount Hilary, which is on the 10th of March. The Drumahan 5K, which is on the 20th of April. A small, tiny little race, which, is fast and, it's held by somebody we might know. The
It's got it
Brie
all.
5K,
It's got it
which is on the 12th of May. That's the star race, lads. And the Buttevant 4 miler on the 17th of May. So, Brian, brief, what's the story with it?
Yeah, it's really kicking off now, in fairness to Mount Hilary at the moment, our first race up on the 10th of March, and they're, really getting their everything in gear for this one. They've got some great publicity going up there at the moment and great prizes. And that's the first race on the 10th of March, followed quickly, as I said, by Drumahan on 20th of April, Boyne 5K on the 12th of May, Buttevant on the 7th of May. I just know I've talked, we're in a chat group with the four race directors, and everybody's really behind it. The clubs are really behind it. This is going to be a great series. We'll be announcing very soon what the prizes will be for those who partake in all four races. And obviously, there's going to be winners in all four races too, as well as each club having their own individual prizes as well. So I know, like, I can speak for my own one, Boyne 5K. I think our prize money in total comes up to about €3,000 in terms of cash and prizes as well. And again, we have cash prizes, and all races are timed as well, chip time. So it's going to be high standard for sure.
Yeah, look, something to look forward to. So it's time to move on to our interview, which is sponsored by Shoe Rescue. So if you are running in any of these featured races and your shoes stink a little bit by the end of the race, there might be a solution for it, and that is Shoe Rescue. And this is gold dust, lads. This is brilliant. So get it in on Amazon, in the Edge Sports, in a Common Sports, in so many different shops. We have it in the Edge Sports for £11.95, and it's worth every single penny of it. So
And lasts actually quite a long time as well, in
yeah,
fairness.
6 months, about 6 months, and honestly, it does last about 6 months. So it is a godsend to your partners in crime, because they don't have to listen or smell your smelly shoes. So make sure you pick it up and use it. God sent, lads, God sent. So, interview Fergal O'Brien, snooker Hall of Famer,
Looking
legend.
at.
I actually really enjoy. He's such a nice man. Such a happy man. Does himself again like a lot of people. Like, he just doesn't sell himself that way when it comes to the running. Do you know what I mean? It's like.
Bar winning the race, of
Bar
course.
winning, of which he quite enjoyed, and we will definitely be putting out on a few videos this week, because he really enjoyed that. But really, look, just listen up, enjoy it, and we will catch you on the other side.
We're delighted to welcome Fergal O'Brien, one of Ireland's sporting legends, to this week's podcast. Probably not sporting legend in the running world, maybe not
Yes,
yet anyway, Fergal. Yeah,
yes.
not yet, but definitely around the snooker table, you were one of Ireland's greats there in the past decades, I suppose, and Hall of Fame member, I think, as well. Winner of many titles and represented Ireland greatly on the world snooker tournaments and things like that. So, welcome to the podcast, first of all, anyway, Fergal.
Thanks very much, Daz. Thanks for having me.
Did you ever think you would be invited onto a running podcast in all your years of
No.
sport?
Yeah, needless to say, I've been getting abuse already from the rest of Luke and Harry, as they can't believe you've classified me as a runner either. So
Oh.
I'm gonna milk it for all I can.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You've made it now that you've made this podcast. You've jumped ahead of
Absolutely.
so many others that wanted to get on. So yeah, you have that over them now. It's you can.
Fergal, we always say, like, once you get out that door and you put one leg in front of another, you're a runner. There's no classification of as a runner. So,
Good,
everyone,
thank you.
once they move, we're okay.
Yeah. So
But what we're,
we're going to
yeah,
treat you like any other runner. So we're going to start off in the exact
exactly.
same way that we do with every other runner as well. So we're
Okay.
going to fire some rapid fire questions at you.
Right, I start off. Road, treadmill, trail, or track?
Track.
Track, okay, very
Yeah,
interesting.
as you'll find out, I'm not that great, but within the club, I do have a little bit of a speed, have a little bit of a kick. So if we're doing sessions on the track, I prefer if we're doing like maybe 10, 200s, so I can always try and catch a few people. particularly with the last one, legendary sandbagger in the club. So the last one looking quite dangerous.
I do enjoy that. Like, you know, when everyone's like, don't be a hero now today, let's don't be a hero, and you're just gone.
That's all I have.
That's all you want, right?
Favorite shoe brand?
Probably Nike. I got a couple of nice pairs in America. I don't know how good they are, but they look good.
Yeah, but
It's
that's
looking good as parts of it, anyway.
90% of it. Miles or kilometers?
Kilometers.
Oh,
I was expecting
controversial.
a miles, man.
So just more, just I do a 5K. That's about it.
This could be an interesting one, though, because of your stature. Who's the most famous person in your phone contacts list?
Probably Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Well, we can't
We
beat
get that number off you. That's not a bad one. That's
No,
probably one of the best ones I think we've
that's
got so
probably one of the
far.
best ones.
It's decent.
Favorite distance, and you probably just answered that a few seconds ago, did you?
I generally would, if I try avoid races, but I've done a few, obviously 5K, but probably 5K.
Favorite race, even though you avoid races, but what's your favorite one when you do get to one?
Yeah, I can hear the groans from the Luke and Harriers. Years ago in Trinity, remember they did this series of races around the grass track and the 800 meters. Now, I don't know what category it was. It wasn't the very best, but I managed to win my category anyway with a legendary sprint finish. And so that 800 meters, I think was, I might have been 2:38. So like the time's not relevant.
It's a
But
grass
winning
track,
it,
makes it slower. Remember, that's a grass
of
track as well, so
course,
that's
you're right.
slower, you know. So like you're
But for winning it, I got like a high vis like singlet, which every opportunity I still wear. So it has the race date and all on the back. So people hate it. So I deliberately wear it to remind them. Like, I was disappointed the club didn't have a 10-year anniversary for me for winning it.
I get
The Hall of Fame just for that.
Absolutely, yeah.
I get the feeling you like raising your teammates, do you?
To be fair, I give the most slagging, but I definitely get the most in return, to be fairly.
Very
It's all good.
good.
So, do you prefer training in hot or cold weather?
Oh.
Hot, right.
Are you
Yeah,
a
because
morning
it's too
runner or
cold. Yeah, I
yeah?
won't get off the
Fair enough. Are you a morning runner or an evening runner?
couch. I do prefer morning, obviously, with the club there than the night, but ideally, I'm generally a morning person, but I certainly like to get up and get it done. Otherwise, I think you spend the whole day planning and preparing and still end up not going.
Get the gear out and be out the door. I'm trying to get out into that habit now again, because I've gone in the evenings, and if you get it done in the morning, you're just done. You don't have to think about it for the rest of the day.
And
But
you just feel that it's a great start to the day, and you feel a bit more. Even if you have a treat or two during the day, you feel like you've earned it at
You're
least.
100% have to treat it during the first thing in the morning. Right, here's the three kind of ones. Three people you would like to have a meal or drink with, dead or alive.
From anywhere.
Anywhere. Just three people that you would love to, sit down and have an opportunity to chat with.
Maybe I was like the golfer Ben Hogan.
Okay.
Sinatra, Frank Sinatra.
Oh, some song efforts.
Going on to maybe say JFK, but that'd be he knew Sinatra too well. So let's go with Ayrton Senna. That's a
Oh,
brilliant.
that's a
Now
nice
they're
mix.
three. That's a good mix. Now that's three brand new names that we haven't got yet, and even a four thrown in just for the good sake, just in case he decides to turn up.
Quite
Brian,
diverse, yeah.
yeah, what's
Yep,
your
your favorite book or movie?
favorite movie is Goodfellas.
Okay.
Book.
Last one.
Do you have any
Favorite book?
Would you have any, sporting book that you would kind of?
I generally, it's quite limited in the sense I've loads of books, but they're generally biographies, sporting biographies, or then a lot of kind of like psychology, sports psychology, self-help books. So I like The Chimp Paradox, which is written by Steve Peters, who, apart from working with Ronnie O'Sullivan, he's worked with a lot of athletes, British Olympics team as well. But I thought that Chimp Paradox is a great book on how the mind works and managing your emotions.
Oh, that
Interesting.
might actually be quite a good one to look at. Right, last one. If you could take the place of another person in their greatest sporting moment, what would it be? And we obviously we give an example because it is a hard one to think. So I went with Messi in the World Cup final, and Brian went with Paddy Bonner in Italia 90.
It seems like I'm name dropping, but I probably have to go with Ronnie winning. Well, it's set for one world title, to be honest, but probably Ronnie winning the seventh world title, which beyond doubt put it to bed that who is the greatest snooker player of all time. So I'd say that was a pretty sweet feeling to
Yeah.
be.
Yeah. He's
Do
not
you're
finished.
definitely the greatest of all time.
He's
Go with
not
that.
finished yet, I'd say, is he? No.
No, like
Yeah.
geez, this season he's been amazing.
Oh, and
Like he's
he's a chip in his shoulder at the
48.
moment as well, and it's so funny to watch him at the moment. His interviews, he's just chipping away at everybody. He just wants to pick a fight.
Yeah, I think after run it gets a run of tournaments, he just know by him, he's browned off, and he just gets so tetchy and just he looks he's done well, obviously, but he looks like he needs a bit of a break because it just seems everything and everyone is annoying him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So we start off, right? So I want to ask a question first, okay? So obviously you started playing snooker in, I think it was in professionally is in 19, what was it again? Sorry, I have this jotted down there now.
91, yeah.
91, that's it. And you said to us before on air, you started running at 2009. So the lifestyle of a snooker player in the early 1990s and the 2000s was kind of like more like nearly cigarette, not quite cigarettes, but the beer and that kind of side of it. How did you then decide to go up and start up running all of a sudden?
Yeah, well, to be fair, certainly during the 80s, obviously, that was very much like tobacco based,
Yeah.
and obviously the alcohol, and a lot of players had alcohol while they were playing. excuse me. The 90s, I said, look, I take a drink, but generally, you wouldn't really call me a drink at all. The very odd time, I would have a drink or two. If I never drank again, that wouldn't bother me. So that was never really an issue as such. Always had a bit of a sweet tooth. So that probably, because again, people in the club, they're kind of be slagging saying, when I first joined, how big I was, and like I'm sure I wasn't, probably a stone or whatever, but I mean, so that was always, but I always had the idea of getting fit, I'd be a great man for New Year's resolutions, and yeah, and I wouldn't mind. I had to where I lived in the 90s, late 90s when I got married, I literally had to walk by the track each day to go to down to the club in Lucan. And again, it never dawned on me maybe to go in and see what was actually going on there. And then to be fair, I had no great interest in doing it. Or my Colm O'Connor was the coach in Lucan Harriers then and now. He was in my dad's shop. My dad had a trophy shop in Capel Street. And he was in there and he's, Colm can be quite, let's say, persuasive. So eventually my dad says, look, will you give this guy a ring? He keeps talking about going running and really benefit you. So eventually I rang Colm, and then from the first time I met with him, and I think the fact that I didn't drink or didn't smoke or anything like that, he thought there might be a little bit of potential there. So I started going up, and obviously from there, look, really enjoyed
And for religious, was it kind of
it.
mainly track based that you kind of started with, or was it mainly kind of on the roads for, the 5K onwards, easy running and stuff like that?
Yeah, to be fair to Colm, it was a great thing he did. He gave me basically a program of 20 runs. I was on my 20th run, was an hour. So literally, it was the first one was like 20 minutes, 20, 25, 20, 30, 20,
Yeah.
eventually building it all up. So my 20th run I did by myself was an hour. And it was only when I could run for an hour that I effectively was allowed to join in the sessions that they were doing. So
Yeah.
I'd still go up on the Thursdays, maybe some of the others have new as well. We might go out running on the roads of Luke for, 3, 4, 5 miles, that kind of thing. But it's only really if I joined in January, it's probably only really maybe September. So on the Tuesdays, Thursdays, I was actually doing like the heavy sessions on the track. It was very much the case of you can only really train properly once you're able to run for an hour without stopping. So of course that gave me a great base, and of course subsequently because you tend to see people in January come up, say unfit as such and starting off like lunatics for a couple of weeks, but of course by February we stopped doing it because it's basically just too hard. So it was very just even mentally starting off, I said particularly because the idea of running for 20 minutes starting off seemed a lot. But I said, yeah, I think I can do 20 minutes. I slowly built that up. So by the time I was running on the track in those sessions, I was well able for it, as in well able for it within my all level. So that really stood to me.
Very good. And just how many days a week would you actually train now at the moment? Is it all around the club activities, or would you do it yourself as well?
I've definitely, since COVID got out of the habit, drifted a piece. And again, the last year or so, I started to do snookers. I'm doing a bit of coaching. So again, if somebody was looking for coaching on a Tuesday or Thursday night, I was giving that my priority. But in an ideal world, it's the Tuesday night and the club is like all on the track. Thursday's usually a tempo run, 40 minutes, 20 out, 20 back. And then the Sunday one, which probably be most favourite. We meet at 9 o'clock and go out for usually between an hour and a half, and that time that's went to 2 hours. But so in an ideal world, I would say if I could get out Tuesday and Thursday and Sunday with the club, and maybe Wednesday in between, even if I got a half hour run just to take the Tuesday night session out of my legs, I'd be very happy with that. But certainly pre-COVID, I was probably doing that, and maybe a little bit more, maybe 5 times a week. But with COVID, I just got out of the habit of going to the club, and I need to get back into
And Fergal, with the we say when you were playing snooker and stuff like that, and you would have a routine of practice that stage, would that have been a very regimental practice that you would have had playing snooker? I was just kind of in my head saying, would you have brought that regiment back into running at the start when you started running anyway?
Yeah, no, it was very regimental, as in literally, I'd be at the club for 9:30 every morning. Started at 10, bang on, and generally would have played till 5, obviously stopped for a lunch and the odd break or two, but generally was 5, 6 hours a day. And I said, starting at 10 o'clock, I said, generally a morning person, so generally go to bed early to get up early to get me practice done. I always felt the practice in the morning was even better again. And what I definitely noticed when I started doing the running, one of the benefits was, I said, if I was doing 6 hours practice, maybe towards the afternoon, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, my concentration could go a little piece, but definitely because of the running, I was able to maintain that concentration for longer. So I wasn't necessarily, instead of playing 6 hours, playing 8 or 9 because I was now running, but certainly had more stamina concentration. So generally the last hour was usually as good as the first hour. In the 90s, so when I wasn't running, that wasn't always the case. So that was definitely a benefit to me.
Yeah, Colin, what must have been a benefit to you when you famously,
Yeah,
I think you took part in the longest ever frame, was it?
two,
123 minutes, 41 seconds, nearly as long as your Sunday runs.
nearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously things like, and then obviously with the traveling as well, obviously when you're going to China a lot, probably that didn't take as much toll on me as might have done with others, who having that stamina. And again, it's one of those you'd be running, you wouldn't necessarily feel, because it's gradual, that you're fit. And then all of a sudden you get to a tournament and you might have to play maybe 3 or 4 matches in a day. You could be starting in the morning and you mightn't finish till midnight over the day. And you might have won the last match. It was only then you realized, God, if I wasn't this fit, there's every chance I wouldn't have been able to sustain it. So the quality of my concentration and stamina definitely improved. But as I got, would say, fitter with it, there was more a case of the even the social side. And if I'm away, I'm almost the Sunday morning run just for the, I said, the slagging and the banter, rather than actually having the run as such. Because obviously we're all well able to run, so we could be sitting down for that hour, hour and a half, but the impact generally has on us. But obviously it's the slagging I'd miss.
And Virgil, just when you're away, as like, did you use running as a kind of way to see some of these cities that you were out as well? Or was it just like when you were in, we say, China, is it very much there for business in, back out, get home as fast as you can? Or would you try to get runs in into these places?
No, there was only one time actually or a couple of times actually in Shanghai, and where it was in the hotel right outside, there's a bit of a track there, so you could do a few laps in that. But generally, it wouldn't be great for, running around in random cities over there. I'd be afraid I'd take a wrong turn or and get lost. And no, generally, again, sometimes with England, certainly I would take my trainers with me, and if you did a day or so, I would never ran on the day. Certainly the day before a match. But again, there was a couple of times I remember I've got maybe, I'd say, bad defeats. And later on, if I kind of forced myself out and you went for a run, It certainly took the edge and sting off it. So that was all that stood to me. But generally, no, when I went to tournaments, as soon as it was clearing up and shaking hands, if I lost, I wanted to ideally go straight into a car, straight to the airport and get home. Tournament wise, there was never anywhere I've been that after I've got beaten was as good as being home the next day. So.
You said earlier as well, obviously, with your book that you were saying, it's a psychology book that you were that you picked out. Would you have been very much kind of like in that mindset constantly, as in like sitting down self-help books and stuff, or would you have got seen kind of professional? Jesus, the word's gone for me now.
Well, psychology, yeah. I did
Yes.
speak to a few people since we were called a mind coach, life coach, or obviously the other coaches as such. And yeah, I read, I'm probably upstairs, I probably say the guts of 100 kind of what you call, self-help
Self-help,
psychology
yeah.
books, from all different ranges, whether it be, some of them, obviously quite a lot of similarities, maybe mentally with golf. So there's a good lot of the golf books like Bob Rotella, those kind, so generally a lot of it would be like, on the trying to focus on the process rather than the result, those kind of things. And then just under a general, suppose probably call them, mental health or, stronger mind, dealing with adversity, those kind of things. I've always been very interested. Maybe, probably, maybe, maybe read too many of them sometimes, and you maybe can go,
The other way.
Yeah, you can be. You're trying to keep yourself and your own identity, and adding in one or two bits rather than making big wholesale changes based on what somebody else kind of did, whatever. So, but I always felt them very beneficial. And funny enough, the benefit of that even is as I've started doing coaching, that's probably where I'm going to get greater benefit from those, from what I've learned, that you can then pass on some of that knowledge again. And even now, with the kind of motivational speakers like Eric Thomas or Joe Dispenza, those kind of people, I still tend to listen to on YouTube, or David Goggins, those kinds of stuff. Always have that interest. So maybe there might be little gems I'd read or hear from them that I can also use, in coaching others.
Do you think that there's items from your snooker world that you can bring over to any sport or over to running even? Is there areas of that sport that just transverse over?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's funny because a neighbor of mine is actually Laura Nolan's her name. She's a dancer on Dancing with the Stars. Obviously, between snooker and world of ballroom dancing, you couldn't get much more different. But in talking to her a couple of times, listen to her talk sometimes about her level of preparation, dedication, application, I'd say 80% of it was the same, similar to being an athlete or probably a boxer. There's core disciplines, attitude, concentration, motivations, very similar, apart from the actual individual technical skills. And I would definitely think as well, and again, I must give Colm O'Connor, the running coach, he had an interest in snooker. But because of his coaching background, I end up changing a good few things in my snooker training because of him, because he would question everything. When I first was up there in the club, he couldn't believe, like, I was a professional snooker player, I didn't have a coach, and then there'd be little things he'd be kind of saying, or then he couldn't believe that it didn't have anybody to take the balls out of the pockets for me, I just do it myself. And my ignorant answer was, look, well, Stephen Hendry did it for years and it didn't do him any harm. That's not an answer. Of course it's much better than me actually going pot a ball, walk back down, take the red out of the pocket, find the white, walk back up, replace the white, replace the red, to do it again. Whereas if you somebody, so instead of playing 40 shots in the same time, you could probably play 60. And also then if I'm playing somebody, I never ever have to referee and take the balls out for my opponent. You always are sitting down. So little things like that, or you just would have questioned my training, so would have looked more in depth at all those little things. So definitely kind of like little marginal gains. So I don't know, as I said, definitely the running, the lessons I learned from Colm in the running I brought to snooker. As I said, my running still be limited enough, skills wise. So my snooker coaching, I'm not sure how far that would go, but certainly little bits, funny little bits I would have transferred to snooker. Obviously, over the snooker, talking to people, I would have done a little bit of like maybe visualization, that kind of thing. So even that race I won in Trinity for the week or so before, just for 30 seconds or a minute, I did visualize myself crossing the line and clenching my fist, winning. And sure enough, when I won the race, as I crossed the line, I did clench my fist, which wasn't a conscious act. So I just did those kind of little feelings. So I was able to bring that little piece in, that kind of. So probably there's a level of maybe focus or application. But as I said, I'm probably not skilled enough as a runner to. I could probably give a general talk, and maybe a good runner could personalize that himself. But certainly, what I learned from running, I was able to transport to snooker, definitely.
Yeah. And it's great that you're able to remind your Lucan colleagues that you've won race as well. I think
Oh, I do.
we'll keep
Yeah,
getting
I
that in
do
a
a
few
lot.
times. You're sounding a bit like Damon there every week. He reminds us of the races he's won. So it's no harm to
But
keep
there's no
rubbing that
point in
in.
winning if you can't bang on about it.
Exactly.
But you say the visualization there, and I can never get the word. I actually honestly I think that is a massive part of running, and I do, Brian, for you for Manchester, I do think it's something you should actually look into, because there was a time, and I've said this before, like before there was a race, I'm not going into the race, but there was a race that I done, and for about a month beforehand I meditated, and I could just picture the course we went to. We ran the course beforehand, a few weeks beforehand, to because it was a new course. And I was just picturing every situation as I was doing the meditation before we went to sleep. And like yourself, thankfully, won the race. Won't mention it, Blarney. But, it made a massive difference. My stupidity out of me, I never done it again afterwards. I kind of just let it slide. And it's when I look back, it's like, why didn't I carry that on? And that's where the kind of discipline then comes in of going, right, this worked, carry it on. But, I became a little bit ill-disciplined after that with some of my techniques that I was doing, and it didn't help at all, really.
Too busy throwing bouquets at yourself.
That's
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, and I
Still throwing them though.
yeah, the visualization as well, it can be quite, it does require a good bit of discipline, because it's quite, to sit down and do it and go through all those steps. And again, I had this period myself, we're talking about self-help. There was motivation guy Tony Robbins, who's big, he spoke a few years ago, so I decided to go to him. But he talked about something like that, visualization. So actually, for about each day, for about a month, I actually seen myself clearing the colors to make a 147 break. And literally within a month later, I actually did do it. Again, I just sat down, just visualized myself putting the six. I wasn't actually physically really practicing it, but I kind of visualized that, and I said, well, about a month or so later, I did it. And the key factor to it being, because again, 147 for snooker is quite a big thing. And even this times in practice, even now, I'd still be quite nervous, and there's times I've kind of pressure's got to me, even though I might be just playing somebody in the club. But it's actually very, very comfortable that time doing it in a tournament for real. But effectively, and that's the idea of the visualization, is your subconscious doesn't know the difference between real and imaginary. So effectively, I've done it so many times. So it's a great thing for that. And again, I might, now thinking of it, even. Again, for 5K, I ran 19:44 as my best 5K, as good or bad as that is. But I definitely, again, just thinking about there beforehand, I actually visualized myself getting to the line, and obviously the big clock, and there being 19, I think it was 19:9 something. Just so that was a little bit of a target, or I would have, without going too deep, I would have thought about the race, or I'd done the race before, the Bob Heffernan in Enfield. So I would have done it before, and just I knew where to go and the bend, the bends in different areas, and I could see, the crowd over there. So I didn't go that heavy into it, but just there was a little bit more comfortable in it. So you're preparing your mind for that. So even this is my very, I'm saying 19:44 and 2:38 for an 800 meters. You get the kind of caliber runner I am. But even within that, for my level, because they were deemed important to me, I had little chance. Definitely help. Like, why would you not do it? Because it's just getting your mind to it, to believe that you can. I said, if you visualize enough, you kind of feel you've already done it before. So
And funny enough, A running friend of mine, I train with Shane Collins there. We've been similar enough in ability, I suppose. But I've trained with Shane for the last couple of years there, and we both ran the Dublin Marathon. He's twice now gone under 3 hours, in fairness, which is a target of mine, obviously. But I only asked him this question about 2 weeks ago, and it relates to what we're talking about now. You know, I don't think he was as fit last year as he was the previous year, but because he did it, you know, he could do it again, type of a thing. You know, and it's like you breaking 20 minutes, I think, for a lot of club runners as well. 20 minutes is a big target, and they struggle. You know, I know loads of people who struggle to get under that 20-minute mark, but once they do it once, they'll all, but even when they're not super fit, they'll do it again because they can visualize and they know they can do it. So the mind is a big part of it for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I must just stress, I've never repeated that. You know what
Yeah.
I mean? So again, Philip Damon was too busy
Yes.
throwing.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So and again, I know for a fact I'm not in, I doubt I'd break 22 at the moment. And that's probably been very, very, yeah, it's
Yeah,
more like
but like
23,
it's just getting
24.
back into the habit of it again, and it's getting back into the routine. And you know, with myself and Brian, we're doing the challenge at the moment with the podcast, where we're trying to run every day for 31 days for 5K, like is our minimum distance. And I hadn't run for 8 weeks before I started this, and now all of a sudden I'm on day 25, and you know, my legs are starting to fall off, and I'm like, right, I need to get out. It's just that routine now, you get into it, and you do see the difference in the performance. And look, you just said you do have coaching, and life unfortunately does get in the way with running a lot of the times. But I like it is something I just think it is so rewarding once you do get out, and it like the gains you get far outweigh everything else.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I said, well, I'm saying that I'm sort of conscious of the fact I haven't been out, and it doesn't, not quite runner's guilt, but it's not sitting well with me that, for argument's sake, I'm going away tomorrow actually because of a match on Saturday. I'm back Sunday afternoon, so I'm going to miss the Sunday run. So I didn't run this week, and okay, right now Monday I've got to start back again, and then Tuesday night I know I've something else on coaching, so I won't be able to go to the club Tuesday night. So at the moment I'm kind of just hanging on, a little piece just ticking over. But ideally, I'd love to be getting nice. If I just got the, like as I say, my one bit of running advice in the club, I say, is if you got out every night, the Tuesday night, the Thursday, and the Sunday morning run with the club, even if you did nothing else, if you did that for the year, you've had a great year. Because also it means there's a level of quality of training, but also there also means you haven't been injured. I think just that as well, and just regularly doing. And that's one thing I learned with the running as well.
From what I can hear from you, like as you mentioned, Luke, and every time, is how much the club actually means to you, and you know how much it's nearly like probably like a second family or third family. Probably snooker family is probably second, and then but like it obviously is after really actually grabbing you, as in looking the club themselves has really just grabbed you in and just taken hold of you.
Great people. Great people there. Really, really good fun. I says I love the Sunday morning run as well. But also because it's probably such a contrast for the snooker, because snooker is always indoors, running, is outdoors. But also, by Tuesday, chances are by Tuesday, normal Tuesday, I could have been in the club from 9 o'clock. So I hardly spoke to anybody maybe from 9 till 5 because I've been in my own little world. And even if anybody tried to talk to me when I was practicing, I'd soon get rid of them. So by the time you go up on Tuesday, where you get you home, change your clothes and go out the door, I said I probably hardly spoke to anybody. So I know myself, by the time we go to 7, talking to anybody, I'm sure there's probably days you struggle to shut me up because I'm interrupting the warm-up sessions and all, but just because probably for my own, just having a bit of company. But then there's such good people, and it's just such good fun. And nearly the getting fit is nearly a byproduct, because it's so enjoyable. But apart from Colm O'Connor, there's also really good runners there. And again, it's one thing that which is different in running world to snooker, that sense of maybe being a team or being far open. Whereas if I was practicing with Ken Doherty today and he was playing bad, I could see why he was playing bad. There's no way I'd tell him what he was doing or how he could rectify it, because I might have to play him again tomorrow or next week in a tournament. Whereas in the running, it's obviously at an amateur status, but even that running, it's far more open, far more go out of their way to help people, to give advice. And there's no sense of, if I give this guy advice, next week's race, he could beat me because, again, There's none of that at all. Much more greater sense of, community. And having said, as much as I appreciate the club, I'm also conscious that I don't do a lot for the club. But again, when my playing days are over, a bit more time, I've generally taken far more out of the club than I've given back. But I'm conscious of that, so hopefully in time that I can do a little bit more. I wouldn't be a great one for volunteering, helping out, or stewarding, but hopefully down the road that's when I can. But I said I really do, I really enjoy it and reap the benefits, and I can't see a time where I never would be running. But again, big product of that, byproduct of that, of course, is being at the club and the people in it.
I think it's amazing to hear your kind of enthusiasm about that Sunday morning run, because I think that's replicated everywhere. Like, the amount of people who we would know ourselves who go out in a Sunday morning long run, even last Sunday morning was biblical conditions down here in Cork, and I think all over the country. Yet I saw so many people getting out. They didn't want to miss their run, their social run, really going for a cup of coffee afterwards and chatting with friends. It's another side to running that those maybe who aren't in it don't see, and maybe may not even understand, think all these people are mad. But I think that's such a crucial part of the running family, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I said it's only actually a couple of weeks ago, it was very rare that I actually met one or two of the lads, or got a lift at the start of the estate. Go, and he says, "What are you doing? You didn't answer your phone." It was cancelled because one or two lads had already been out and the paths were so slippy. Literally just somebody was going to break the neck, so it was cancelled. But other than that, even if there's snow, if you can actually, if it's very safe to run on the paths, no amount of rain would ever stop it, no amount of cold or whatever it is. Nothing. Again, that can also happen on, the Tuesday, Thursday nights. We've been out and we ran in, it was like little hills in the Domain and Lucan, and it was just like a flood coming down the hills. But we're running up at, it takes about a minute to run up and jog down. We're doing those sessions. No, there's no fear of stopping or doing it. It's like madness in a sense, but only if you're running, because again, before, again, stuck in snooker halls, any a hint of a bit of rain, I wouldn't be going anywhere. Whereas now, when Asher, it's not that bad, or and your sense of distance is like, Asher, I'll just run there, it's only a couple of miles, or the
And
perspective totally changes.
you feel better
Yeah,
after it too.
and that's the thing, that the odd time, if maybe Saturday night was a bit late and you didn't on the Sunday, you never, and you miss it, you justify it some way, which is easy enough. And you maybe didn't wake up till 9:30, or maybe 8:40, you're like, Asher, I'll leave it. You never feel better. It just gnaws at you for the day because you could have went, and you think, God, if you might have been out, I wouldn't be out too often, too late on a Saturday night. But you say, oh, well, no, I'll be too tired, and Sunday will be wrecked, and I might even be tired Monday. Now, just get up and get it done. Yeah,
Virgil,
still
the
doing it.
kind of running, again, I go come running a snooker kind of way. You obviously in snooker you're sitting down, hopefully not too long, you're potting a lot of balls, but at the times you can be sitting down with your own self thoughts a lot. And then I think that's very similar to running as well, where a lot of times when you're running you have your own self thoughts of, you're constantly just thinking yourself, right? And that can be very good, but it can also be obviously very bad. Would you try to stay positive in constant times when you were playing at that time? When you're sitting down, no matter how bad the
Yeah, of course.
situation is, and then take that into the running again when, you're not running as much, you get out the odd times, you try to keep yourself right, keep it going now, keep it going.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, that's one of the difficulties it sends in playing snooker, in that there is no kind of right to reply. It's not like, if you have the ball, I can tackle you, or if you serve to me, I can respond, or if you get a hole in one, I can get a hole in one. With snooker, once the other person at the table, there's actually nothing you can do. So it's trying to manage your emotions and your thoughts. So with experience, you learned what ideally you should be doing. And if you came to me for advice, yeah, I could tell you good things to do in the chair. But for even having that knowledge, there's no guarantee come Saturday night when I play my next match, I'll be doing those things, because maybe I'm just on that day at that time. You maybe made a couple of mistakes, and it's very easy to get very annoyed at yourself. But yeah, no, I've always been most comfortable enough on my own. And again, times I would have lived or travelled on my own. And certainly running on my own, I've never ever ran with earphones or listening to music or radio. No chance, of no interest at all. Part of it for me is getting it out, that even if it's something on my mind, or maybe, as I said, losing a bad match, Apart from actually physically feeling better because you went for a half an hour run, for me, actually, it's also cleared my mind because there might be something just bugging me. And rather than even if I was sitting in the house all night, I probably wouldn't get the same clarity if I went out for that run because I've nothing else. So, good or bad, you might have something thought, I might literally be playing on a loop for hundreds of times for that half hour, an hour run. But you feel when you come back, I'm more, far more likely to have solved the problem in my head, real or imagined. Apart from actually the physical benefits of it, so as for me, I understand why people do it, but the nearly running with earphones kind of for me takes it. It's the full benefit away a little piece,
The pureness of it, the pureness of it, it takes
Yeah, but
away.
again, I can understand you just if that's what you need to and it helps you, grand. The run is the bottom line, but certainly for me, I've never once thought about. For me, it adds that solitude on my own, so I can maybe gather my thoughts.
Yeah, unless of course you're
And
listening to our podcast, that's different then.
obviously, well, that's totally different. Totally different. We got a question in for us. Sorry to break. We got a question in, and I think we can say that. Well, the question was, what was your favorite snooker moment, and what's your favorite running moment? I think we know your favorite running moment is probably
Tell us
the 800 meter. But
again,
let's start with what's your favorite snooker moment, and it could be like just a snapshot, or it could be a whole game, or it could be anything. Is there anything that in your mind stands out?
if you say a moment, always obviously I did win the British Open, and there's been other matches, but if we just go a little moment, I remember in 1994, was only pro a few years, and the Irish Masters was on in Goffs, which obviously a brilliant tournament. Actually, fortunate enough, I'm actually playing there in March, and there's another one-day event there. But it beat Stephen Hendry, who was God at that time. I remember just after the excitement, I remember just my dad's face, that literally moment after when I seen him after, and he was so proud and chuffed that it'd be. And that was a lovely moment there for that one. So apart from me, my own, just for my dad, that was a great moment. And then running, of course. Did I mention I won a race before in
No,
Trinidad?
never.
No, go
Go
on.
on,
No,
tell
you
us.
go on. Yeah. Well, my first joke was on the basis that, because of course snooker had that reputation for misspent youth and, that kind of lack of education. So I joked first. I was breaking. It was historic. The fact that it was a snooker player in the grounds of Trinity was the first major hurdle. I was joking, and then because the previous year in the category, I think I finished fourth. But the beauty of that, but both times was just for me to be able to stand on the starting line, and just for a moment you thought maybe I could win this race, because obviously in those other races you'd be doing 5Ks, like God, if I didn't finish last I'd be happy enough. So the thoughts, it was just the buzz that maybe I could win a race, and sure enough the previous year was fourth, obviously got a bit fitter, so like God, maybe I could win. So that was so enjoyable, just the planning of it and the tactics of it.
Tell me about the last lap. Come on, you have to remember the last lap. What was going through your head?
No,
Did
I was again, even from the previous year, and again, with Colin McConnell, the coach there. Like I remember, even the start beforehand, maybe a bit of professional. I literally got up the track and pushed people out of the way to be on the inside track at the start. Just literally pushed them out of the way because the previous year I felt I'd lost a couple of seconds. So I was in, went out first to control the pace, took it as slow as I could. At the bell or so, there was a bit of movement. I was probably about fourth. And then, as it says, at my level, I have a bit of a kick. And I remember the coach just got like maybe 200 to go, 150. I was ready to go. And he's, wait, wait, Fergie, wait. And then, with about 100 more, I was like, go now. And sure enough, I did. And I got just about ahead, a yard or two. And I finished the yard or two ahead, but again, if I hadn't had a little bit of advice, I would have went a bit too would have went a bit too early. But I mean, it was a good buzz, I have to be honest.
I,
But
like
at my level,
you're a
that's
runner. Like if
okay.
you're doing all you're doing yourself a misservice here with a lot of your comments, like, because like these are great. No matter, as I said, once you get out the door, once you're like to win any race, no matter what race it is, to get that experience of being the first person across the line is just an unbelievable feeling. And like you said, I said the feeling of pushing the fella at the start, right? No, and getting in here, no, leave me. Like
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
Yeah, no. So I again, my level there was little. I brought some level of whether it be the coaching received or professional that I kind of had a planned and had a plan. But yeah, just the it was. But I said the first buzz was that moment standing on the line going, maybe I could win this race because I've only had it twice. The only other feeling that compares is, as I said, if we're doing sprint sessions on the track. On a Tuesday, certain times of the year, we might be doing 10 or 12, 200 meters, and I mightn't win, but certainly the last one, to be honest, the last three or four, I just absolutely practically walk and just save it for the last one. If I don't win it, I'll definitely take a few scalps. I'm a much better runner, but over 200 meters, I can get a few. So
Oh, send that in.
as
Can't do
childish as
this.
that is, I love that bus.
At least on the track, you know where you're going. You can just go around in circles. But I'm not as what will I say? I haven't won as many races as Damon would like to tell us about now. But I did win one race. But I remember my biggest fear leading was, am I going the right way? Because it was actually a park run, and it was the first time going to this park run. And I was like, what happens if I don't know the way around? I'd nearly rather be second and then come from behind and win it, But yeah. The joys, but it doesn't happen too often, so it's not something we need to
They're and another question we got for
worry about.
marathons.
At Lucan, I
Marathon
think obviously. Sorry.
we're jumping. Is marathons on the horizon for you?
Was probably on the bucket list. I've never done one. I think 10K is the longest race I've done. I've never done one again, apart from if you take a Dublin, there's no guarantee each year. When you look to enter that, I'd be even in the country because again, it could well clash with a tournament, around that time of year. But then also the training, again from seeing the others in the club, the training commitment. Because I wouldn't want to necessarily just do it for the sake of doing it, and I'd like to feel I've decided I'm going to do it and prepared well for it. And as opposed to for example, you having the preparation done and you're literally walking the last few miles because you're just shot. I think I'd like to, at my level, give it one good shot. So that training of those last 2, 3 months that I've seen us doing, I couldn't really commit to that either with practice that you were going for practice and then going in for a 2 hour run. I'd be just fearful that the next day when I went to practice, I wouldn't be able to concentrate, have the stamina as much because all those runs would have took a toll on me. And again, certainly where I was then, even if I ran a great time, if and not that it happened, but if running a sub 3 marathon cost me one match, I wouldn't have, I wouldn't have took it, such as the importance, obviously, the snooker. But yeah, I think I definitely would like to do one. And again, the training for it. Again, my one observation I've kind of made from my limited background, it seems to cause a lot of problems for actually runners. I think, my view of marathons, a lot of people that have done it, I wouldn't say haven't quite been the same runner. But it's definitely impacted them. Maybe they came back a little bit too soon after doing a marathon. It's caused them injuries. Or I definitely know 1 or 2 runners, and they literally hardly ever ran again. Like just, so that has me a little bit wary. I don't know. Look, maybe there's something in that for, as I said, better runners than me. But certainly, if they're doing it, and you literally see them in a week, they're back up, sprint around like lunatics around the track, and it's like,
But that's where
yeah.
Fergal, that's where the coach comes in as well. That's where that. Like listen to your coach. I've seen it loads of times that I have, and I've done it myself. You do the marathon and you kind of go, right, I'm on a crest of a wave here and I'm going to keep on going, and you break out and you, oh sugar, no, I'm actually a lot worse than I thought I was, and you suffer from that. And Brian now will have that in 12 weeks time or whatever it is when he goes for his marathon. We're very stubborn. We just want to keep on running, and we should actually take the break.
Yeah, that again, that's that competitive nature among to, and that's one thing again, even with the running to like that, like the idea of like a slow run or an easy run, or to be that if on a Sunday morning you run slowly, talking pace for 1 hour and 20, that's a great session where you'd be thinking, well, look, I'm not overly out of breath, or I could have went faster or longer or harder. Like, no, that's grand. That's just, you've done a good day. Save it for maybe on the track or something, or even if there's race, particularly if there's races coming up, if somebody was doing a race on Saturday, they're like, still come up on Tuesday, but just do the stretching and have the session, or don't do it as hard, or let you left to your own devices that, or Or even the idea of the running was, I said, when you started off, the idea of running 20 minutes, seemed like a lot. Whereas now, like, I run 20 minutes to get to the club and maybe 20 home. And that, I wouldn't even count that as a run. You know what I mean? So, with your levels of fitness and your perspective can change. But certainly with the marathon, that's one thing I've noticed with people, not so much the training for, because I have great admiration for the work they put in. Whatever time you run for the marathon, it's tough going. But I have noticed a lot of people probably, I would have thought maybe come back a little bit too quick and done too much. Whereas if I ever did a marathon, it was at the end of October. So, do little bits, but you wouldn't see me probably till maybe the new year. But I've seen people really impact on them,
Yeah, definitely. Fargo, it's been a pleasure. I think, I didn't expect some of the things that came up tonight. I think, you represent so many. Again, look, you're more known for your snooker, but I think what you spoke about this evening, the Sunday morning runs, what it does for your head in terms of getting out and running and clear, I think that represents the majority of runners. We've joked about winning races here a fair bit, but that 20%, the 80-20 rule, I think 80% of the runners out there, have that feeling that you've expressed this evening, that clearing the head, good for the head, that's that social side of running. I think it was great to hear it from you as well, someone that's achieved so much. So really appreciate your input and fairness.
And Brian, I
Thank
look forward to
you very
Lucan
much.
honouring that win next year,
Yeah.
with a parade, because I think it,
Yeah.
like I
I
just
think
think
they
I
should
think
rename the
they've
race.
unsold it. They've undersold that race win for you, and I think what the Runner's Diary is going to petition them to open parade the whole lot.
I think it should be called the Fergal O'Brien 800 meters in future. Yeah.
It's the least they could do. Look,
Yeah.
I'm not there on Sunday morning because I'm away in the UK, but thank God, because seriously, the next time I see them, you'll be used. I'm going to get, but brilliant.
You're okay. You're all right. This not going to go for about a week, so you're okay. You'll be well back before this goes
Yeah,
out.
no. They'd be, or again, the WhatsApp group we have, like, dogs abuse I'll get, but it's all good. And I said, yeah. No, listen, thanks very much for having me on. And just the fact that you called me a runner, and for all runners out there, and that's their advice to people, even other snooker players, I'm always advocating to them, young or old. Look, if you really want to be the best snooker player you can, you need to be getting fitter to get running. But then the thing I always clarify is, it's not just go, it's just join your local club, because apart from the social side, you've also got the coaching. So the running, if you were, I've always left it to my own devices. I do the same thing all the time, and it wouldn't be the same quality. Whereas I turn up most nights and I might even know what we're doing. It's not my job. The coach has got it set out. We're doing this session for 4 weeks at this time of year for this specific reason. Brilliant. And then even doing those sessions, the fact you're trying to make sure this fella bet me last week, or when I, stay ahead of her, or whatever competition. So it's not just the quality of the session, but actually within that, the fact you have people to run off and gauge off. And he says that support, that if you're struggling, somebody in the group will give you a boost. Come on, Perry, keep it going, last lap or whatever. Great camaraderie and support. So run more and join your club. That's my
Brilliant.
running advice.
Yeah, great
Great way
advice.
to
Great
finish it.
advice.
Great way to finish it.
And we'll certainly
Fergal.
tag everybody in Lucan so they'll all hear about it as well. Yeah. Yeah.
Make sure you do.
Yeah.
We'll definitely get that petition set up as well. Okay, that has to happen. We need that up. For
Great
look,
stuff.
it's been a pleasure. And actually, that is a great note to finish with.
Yeah.
It is something myself and Brian's harped on an awful lot. So it's great that a professional athlete has agreed with myself and Brian. It doesn't happen that often. So a professional snooker player and runner. Fergal, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Damien. Thank you, Brian. And good luck.
Thanks, Fergus. Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Bye.
So again, thanks a minute to Fergal there. And his I think he's going to get a bit of a stick this week when he returns to Lucan Harriers from I hope they do. And if you're listening, make sure to give him a stick because he certainly seems to talk up his involvement with the race anyway and his race win again. So but I genuinely enjoyed it. I think he talks like so many runners, no matter what your level is, the importance of a club and the support structure of a club. And like he mentioned about the Sunday long runs and the chat and like how he's treated as he's not Fergal O'Brien, the snooker player, he's Fergal O'Brien, part of Lucan Harrier's club, you know?
Yeah, and look, I just think it's valuable, and it just shows as well the consistency, and like, and how he does, like he said himself, he's not as consistent as he was, but he's trying to get back to it, and the mindset, and how snooker and running, some the relationship between the two of them, and how they you can take one from the other, which was a question you asked as well, which I thought was a very good question. So really enjoyed it. Thank you to Fergal. Definitely mention it to Ronnie O'Sullivan as well, Fergal, if you don't
Yeah.
mind.
I
I'd
suppose just
love
for
for it to
people
go
who
on.
don't know though, maybe because like not every like we mentioned Ronnie O'Sullivan once or twice, and obviously for people who don't know, Ronnie O'Sullivan is an absolutely incredible runner. I don't know his times, but they're quite impressive. So, and actually prefers running than snooker, which is hard to believe.
Yeah.
But
So,
anyway, Fergal is our
Fergal,
man.
have the chat. Good chat for us. But look, thank you to Fergal. Thank you to Pillar Performance. Thank you to Wellbeing. Thank you to Shoe Rescue. Thank you to you, Brian. We will let you now go and recover from today. It'll take
Yeah.
you quite some time at your age.
Absolutely. Thank God I work off on Mondays. No,
Yes,
yeah, just
exactly.
Monday,
Yeah.
yeah, fully
So,
recover. And I hope to see you continue your running streak, even if
not
not every
tomorrow.
day.
Not
No, but
tomorrow,
keep up to
Tuesday.
the levels you've been at,
Yeah.
and we'll see you hopefully.
Exactly. Thank you all, and thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon.